Now, though, let's go to dumplings and Wellington's self-proclaimed Queen of Dumplings, Vicky Ha, first opened House of Dumplings in 2012. On her first day at the Wellington City Market, she sold out. She'd spent 17 hours making dumplings. She sold them all out in 2 hours. Since then, her business has gone from a market stall to being stocked in 150 supermarkets around the country and enjoyed by people from here to Hong Kong. This year, House of Dumplings also took the Supreme Award at the New Zealand Artisan Awards. Vicky says she learned how to make dumplings from the very best at home with her mum in their little apartment in Hong Kong. And Vicky Ha is with me now. Kia ora, Vicky.
Kia ora, good morning.
Thank you for being with us on RNZ National on 9 to noon. Tell us about your mum and how you learned from the very best.
I guess like the Chinese are quite similar to the Italians, then, you know, we kind of grow up in the kitchen with the whole family and making food together and stuff like that. So basically it's part of my upbringing, really, just sort of hanging around the kitchen and tiny little apartment in Hong Kong. Like literally the kitchen is like, you know, 2 meters kind of size. But man, you know, there's a lot of amazing food coming out of that. So sort of pretty blessed with mum teaching me a lot of stuff.
What makes a good dumpling?
100% the pastry. So people often talk about the fillings and stuff like that, but the pastry is defined, the texture, the mouthfeel of the dumpling. So gotta make the pastry right.
And what makes a good dumpling pastry then?
basically, it's really, really simple way. It's two ingredients, flour and water. It's the sort of got to have the right protein, gluten in the flour. And obviously, you know, the water contents, whether it's the harder water content, it has become a softer pastry and less water has become firmer. You also got thickness and of the pastry as well. So there are so many sort of personal preferences with dumplings, and it all depends on the region or personal preferences with the thickness or the firmness of the pastry.
Now, we'll get to House of Dumplings in a minute, but your start in the hospitality sector, just talk us through where you worked, some of the most interesting places you worked.
I actually went to uni and did food science and marketing. And then I always told my, sort of before I went to uni, I told my mum I want to be in chef school. And being a sort of Asian mum always sort of expect you to have a degree or go somewhere in life. And so I got denied for going to chef school. So I did my thing, and I ended up being a dishy when I graduated uni for that. And then I was doing dishes for Scott in Lao Bay, and I was just doing dishes, and I just want to be, and I love being in that environment. So basically I did my rounds and went to chef school, did a little more dishes at the White House, Paul, or, you know, and moved towards more chefing positions. And it's just do my rounds, really.
What was it about kitchens? What pulled you towards that as your career, as your love?
Kitchen is I always say there's only two type of people going to a kitchen, either one that can't find a job or one love being in there. And I'm one of those that, hopefully one of those that actually really enjoy being in the kitchen. So it's a smell, it's the chaos, it's the, it's vibrant. You know, there is always something going on. It's busy, like orders coming through. You've got this, you know, rush that you have to, or problem solving, constantly solving problems. Let's say that if you're running out something and clients need it and you kind of like need to be on the spot, make something, it is, there's always something going on. I feel alive being in the kitchen, really.
Now, you were thinking, I guess, about opening your own dumpling business, but one place that you earned a bit of money ahead of that was on a trawler. Tell me about
yes.
Feeding fishermen. What's that like?
That's another story to tell, right? I was chefing in New Zealand, and obviously it's a very low pay environment. It's low food margin, and so you know, with my ex back then, you know, he did about 10 seasons of prawn trawlings. And so he's done many, many seasons for both tiger and banana prawns. And we just need to make some money, really, just to go somewhere in life. So we both decided to go to Aussie, did a season. So it's one of those jobs that you can't just kind of get off the street. You kind of need to know people to do so. So I, my ex Thomas did convince one of the skipper to offer me a job and as a cook on the boat, and we went on a fishing boat that is. It's a story itself. It's fascinating. It's stinky. All the rejects of society working there, and in a very close environment. It's quite disgusting in some ways as well. And but it was just, I grew up so much during that period of 10 weeks. It's I love it, actually.
What did it teach you? Because I guess in that kind of real pressure cooker, sorry to use that term, environment, I guess you must learn a lot.
As I said, I forced to grow up. It's a perfect character building kind of environment. You got like 6-7 people, all from different walks of life. Well, most of them I actually have done quite a few seasons, but quite a lot of those people are actually they don't do well in a normal society, because you got bills to pay, they got, you know, misses to deal with, and I don't know, child support, all sorts of stuff, government, I don't know what, all those sort of pressure on society. But once you jump on a boat, basically you only got the prawns that you need to catch, or the boat and the people around you. So it's a very, very close environment. And it is mentally quite tough. So obviously, physically tough as well. You work for like a day or two without sleeps and just catching. You just dream about prawns. You see prawns, like we did 150 tons of prawns in 10 weeks time. It is a lot of prawns. And it's everywhere. It stinks as well. Like you just like you, your pores of your skin has actually got fishy smells coming out, and you just kind of, no matter how you scrub it, it still smells like fish.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, that's where food comes from, man. Yes.
Yeah. So you start up your own business. I mean, it. Take us back to the beginning. Why did you think dumplings were going to be your thing?
It was a really one off, really. It's I invite a couple of my chef mates and I said, hey, I'm going to make some dumplings, because it's not something that quite often people like me, growing up in somewhere in our culture and moving to another culture, I try to hide quite a lot of my heritage and background stuff and try to fit in. And so it was, I've never really done dumplings in a normal sort of kitchen environment. So I invited a couple of my friends, like, hey, I'm going to make my mum's dumplings, because I'm just going to do that. And I just did. And they absolutely loved it. And it's like, hey, Vicky, there's nothing out there. Just, you've got to do something about this. And that's how the whole inspiration come from, I guess, organically, yeah.
Yeah, they sold out within 2 hours. Why do you think they were such a hit?
I think I had a really strong vision in the very beginning, which that no one really believed in, actually. I don't talk a lot about this. I remember I bought a chest freezer. It cost $150 secondhand on TradeMe. And my ex said, well, you're going to waste your money, because no one really believed the concept. But from the very beginning, my thoughts is, if I'm going to do anything, because dumplings is actually involved of labor, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to put the goddamn best ingredients I can find in this country. And I'm going to, you know, make the dumplings from a pastry from scratch, which is not a lot of people do. And I'm going to do everything, like, you know, pastries all colored with like turmeric or spinach or beetroots, all flavored and colored. And I handmade every single one of them. It is, you know, I just got this strong vision that I have to do the best I could. And I guess it was nothing out there on the market, and people loved it. So I was really lucky in that regard.
And now they're at supermarkets. How has that changed the game for you in terms of the production side?
you live in a capitalist society, really. As probably you can hear quite a few stories about supermarket tyranny. It is a brutal place, no doubt about that. So it's a constant struggle for me as a business owner for my own personal value of what my vision of value of our business, and also seeing the outside world, what is real. So you try to sort of every single day internally just struggle and fighting to have this balance and not losing our core values, which is the main thing, but at the same time need to survive in the big real world. It is a fine struggle, really.
Now, the best way to cook dumplings, what are your top tips?
Yes. I guess this all depends on your personal preference. Like, some people like them steam, some people like them boiled, some people like them pan fried. People mostly, from my dealing for nine and a half years of serving dumplings in this country, people mostly like them pan fried. So my suggestion is just pan fried dumplings. And yeah, it's if you've got time, make your own one. If you don't have time, buy a house or whatever. And you can always go yum cha as well. There are so many different type of dumplings out there. So go for whatever you like. There's no restrictions in any form of way.
What about cooking them in, either if you don't have much of a kitchen at home, or even at work? Could you do them for a work lunch with, you know, the kind of facilities provided in somewhere like the RNZ kitchen?
Yes, of course. So because I've served dumplings, you know, in markets and stores and stuff like that, and realize that people in New Zealand, most of them don't know how to steam or have the facility to steam dumplings, which is a key to make pan-fried dumplings. So all our dumplings are already pre-steamed, so you actually just take the hardest part out of it. And you can put on a toasty machine in your office, thaw them out, our dumplings, chuck in a toasty machine, and just sizzling a couple minutes on each side. I am sure my mother would not approve that. Like 100% sure, but but hey, you know, it's in New Zealand. It's not in Hong Kong, so toughen up. Yeah,
Vicky Ha, thank you very much from House of Dumplings. There, yes, you can use the sandwich press in the Whakaae to do your dumplings. She says so. Thank you so much for your time on 9 to Noon here on RNZ National.